Stories of innovation and success from the vibrant communities of rural Nova Scotia. This is Ignited.
Hey there. Welcome to Ignited, the podcast where we celebrate innovation and rural success. I'm Wade Cleveland. I work for a rural innovation hub called Ignite. We help build vibrant communities in rural Nova Scotia by bringing together startups and industry, youth, and community. And at Ignited, we're kicking off our annual Women's Founders Series, and we have some great stories to tell and great conversations to be had. I'm really excited to share these with you. And we're starting things off today with Kathy Monroe of Bramble Hill Farm, a microgreen farm in Pictou County. Now, I should say the award-winning Bramble Hill Farm. In 2019, they were named New Business of the Year at the Pictou County Chamber of Commerce Business Achievement Awards. In 2022, they won for New Entrant in Agriculture. Bramble Hill Farm has experienced really great growth. From a small seed, let's see what I did there, Kathy's grown the business into a year-round supplier of microgreens throughout northern and central Nova Scotia and can be found in over 15 retail locations. On top of that, an innovative grow-your-own micro-garden product has led her to pitch for Dragon's Den. Thank you so much for doing this. I really appreciate it.
Well, thanks so much for having me.
Let's talk a little bit about the early days, because you don't really come from an agriculture background. You come from a fisheries background. So where did this all lead from?
Yeah, well, fisheries and agriculture, it's not that far removed, right?
No.
It's all science.
For sure.
Yeah. I have a background in fisheries science, and we were living out west, actually, at the time. I'm originally from Nova Scotia, but I did my time in Fort McMurray working in environmental assessment work, and eventually we decided we wanted to move back east to start our family. Came back to Nova Scotia, and it was actually a little more difficult to find work in fisheries here, although I did work myself into a government position doing some invasive species work here. But we started our family, and we had also bought a homestead. And while I was on maternity leave, kind of grew our homestead, you know, pigs, chickens, big garden, all those good things. But when it was time to go back to work, we realized that we had created a lifestyle that wasn't really sustainable for two professionals with two small children, right? So we made a choice, and I was going to stay home for a little while and see how that went and homestead and enjoy the chickens running around my yard with the two small children. But the gardens continued to grow. And before I knew it, I was, you know, not just feeding my family, but the neighbors. And then someone said, oh, you should go to the farmer's market. And I was like, yeah, okay, I'll take my extra to the farmer's market. And I was hooked. I loved the atmosphere and the vibe of the farmer's market and sharing what I had created and grown for other people in their lives. It just really fueled me. So before I knew it, I was a full-timer at the farmer's market, and my husband threw me a big retirement party from fisheries. The joke is, though, that I've never worked harder. There was no retirement there.
It's a true commitment because, as you put it, it's definitely a lifestyle.
Yeah, it's full-time lifestyle that way. It was definitely a mindset shift, though, to go from a lifestyle business to creating, you know, more of an entrepreneurial avenue with the business. And that really happened in 2017 when the New Glasgow Farmers Market built a year-round building. And I realized that there was no fresh produce available through the winter, you know, where there was a little bit of garlic and potatoes around, but there was definitely an appetite for more fresh produce. So I looked around to see what I could offer the market that way and did some research into microgreens. And before I knew it, the kids' playroom at that time became a giant grow-up. And my husband looked at me and he's like, you're going to need more space.
Tell me a little bit about the learning curve there. Was there much of a learning curve? Is it easy to do, I guess, is my question. Because you would have required some pretty specialized equipment to make this all work really well and to the degree that you're doing it, at least at this point.
Well, I feel like that's definitely where my science background came into play was, you know, it's all a big experiment. Keeping really good notes and doing your research. I mean, we have such a great tool now available with Google. You can become a Google expert in anything, right? You just need to have a little bit of confidence in yourself and keep pretty darn good notes on what's working for you and what's not. And that's really how it all began.
So tell me a little bit about the entrepreneurial journey that you took when you decided in 2017, okay, we're going to do this. Like, and it's going to be a business and it's going to be a going concern. There had to be a lot of factors that you put in and issues that came up as you kind of develop that and make it makes sense?
Well, I am actually a pretty risk adverse type of person. So I feel really it's really important to test and iterate all the time, right? So actually what I wanted to do was I was full time at the farmer's market. And like I said, I was growing these greens in my kids' playroom and selling out every week at the farmer's market. So obviously I wasn't fulfilling the demand there. Plus I figured, you know, if I could work on the economics, maybe I could have a wholesale business out of this. So I actually ran a Kickstarter at the time to fund a greenhouse. You know, a lot of people grow microgreens in different types of settings. You know, you can grow them in containers and warehouses, like shipping containers and things like that. But I really looked at, for one, where do I want to spend my days? Not in a shipping container. And two, also, you know, I wanted to build a structure that had flexibility in case, you know, the microgreens didn't work out for me, that space could easily be transferable into another crop of some sort. So yeah, I ran a Kickstarter to build our greenhouse space, and I sold those shares basically to my customers at the farmer's market. So in June, if you supported me with a $100 donation towards the greenhouse, when we first started producing in, I think it was November that year, I literally turned around and gave you $100 in coupons to come to the farmer's market and get your money back. You were going to eat it anyway. So yeah, it was great community building activity. And, you know, I felt so supported by everyone in that process.
That's brilliant in many different ways. First off, it's a great way to raise a little bit of money, but also it creates buy-in where everybody kind of feels like they're a part of your own success.
It was fantastic, actually. Like, it really helped amplify the Bramble Hill story, what we were trying to do. And then it also gave me more leverage when I was going to go to wholesale.
So tell us about that part of it, getting to wholesale and getting to that next stage. What was that like?
It was literally cold calling. It was going door to door, like selectively, what retailers I thought were going to be good fits for our product. But also, like I said before, I'm a little risk adverse. So I think it's super important when you're building a wholesale business, quality is number one, but consistency of supply, and then also making it super easy for your customer. So that consistency element, I realized, was so important when I was providing a fresh product. So if I was going to come into your store and offer this product to you, I want to make sure that I have the volume and capacity to be consistently supplying you so that, you know, you take the product on and oops, next month I got my numbers wrong and I don't have anything for you. That's not going to help you build a customer base in your store. So I really strategically only took on customers as we built the business and as we built that quality and consistency of supply.
Building it kind of slowly, but how slowly was that? How much did you take on in the early stages of everything?
It really was like a new retailer every 2 months or so. And like then getting to know that retailer, because every retailer has, you know, a slightly different consumer base too. So I want to know where I fit in your store and then what the demand is going to be in your store. So, you know, I couldn't just base on how much volume I was going to need to grow for you just on, you know, 2 weeks of orders. It was going to have to, you know, it takes time for people to find you on the shelf too.
For sure. Now, are you talking local, like geographically, how close were all of these places to where you were?
Yeah, so started off, you know, small with our local New Glasgow Sterlings. They were my very first wholesale account. And actually to today, they are one of my best wholesale accounts. They have been so supportive and the local community, even though we can't be found at the New Glasgow Farmers Market anymore. My customers know that they can pick it up there weekly. And then we branched into the city, picked up a few retailers in Truro area, but then went into the city. But then there's this, like, it costs a lot to deliver product on a weekly basis, right? A lot of time, a lot of money. So what I was actually doing was I knew that I wanted to build a customer base in the Dartmouth area. So basically what I did was I started going to the farmer's market at Alderney Landing, myself personally, every Saturday throughout the winter months for about 5 months. And inside the Alderney Landing Farmers Market, there is a Noggin's location. It's now called OB's, but it was at the time a Noggin's farm market store. So I went every Saturday to the market, sold my product, and my end goal was to basically kind of sell my customer base to Noggin's so that I could go to them and say, hey, here's my Saturday sales, and I'm not going to be here, but if you take on my product as a wholesale product, you're open 7 days a week and you could do even better than I am doing. So that's how they took me on.
Right. Okay. That's very clever. Now, you've been talking about this And I know you have a young family. You mentioned you and your husband. Is it a family operation?
Is it a one-woman show?
Yeah.
No, it's not a family operation. It's owned by myself. My husband is a professional. He works outside the farm. I have a super team now, right? Like, this is definitely not a one-woman show anymore.
Okay. At what point did you decide, okay, this is too big for just me and I need help. I need a team.
Well, I reached out to hiring a summer student. That was really my first experience with being an employer and having somebody through the summer months. And that was, you know, to help fill that new demand, but also to give me a little bit of a break to step back a little bit, right, and take the pressure off a bit. And it was through that summer that I had the advantage of having some extra help, built a little more business, and by the time the fall came, realized, oh, I need some permanent staff here, so...
Okay. Talk a little bit about the challenges that you've run into as a new entrepreneur, because that's what you were when you first started out. It's not like you had a whole ton of entrepreneurial experience, and you've turned this into quite a going concern. And so there must have been some lessons on the way.
Certainly lots of lessons. I mean, I feel like I didn't reach out soon enough to the extremely huge community of resources that are available to entrepreneurs. I feel like, especially because I was a new mom and, you know, I was very focused on that, and then building this, basically my third baby, right, was my business. It's so hard to carve out any extra time, and trying to even imagine that I could take an afternoon off to come to Ignite to take a workshop was just, you know, not imaginable. And this was pre-pandemic, so we were not doing a lot of Zoom kind of opportunities that we have now. But I do feel like if I could have reached out sooner, because I do feel in those early days there was definitely moments of total burnout, you know, sit down and cry on the kitchen floor, like, what the heck am I doing? What am I creating? I'm so far over my head. To be able to have some more of that community would, I think, help, especially those who may get to that point and fold, right? Like, it would be so easy to be so overwhelmed at that moment. So it's really, I feel like the last 3 years that I've really reached out and found some mentorship, joined a lot of associations. I feel like all of those people are part of your team, right? They're all cheerleaders to help you build your business. And I feel like that's allowed me to really step up into my CEO role.
Give you the chance to kind of be that person, if you will.
Yes, exactly. And see myself differently, right? Not just, you know, a small business that's trying to eke out a meager living or existence, but allow me to, like, dream bigger, see bigger, and, like, what are the possibilities, and not necessarily shut things down as quickly as I may have before.
Right. What are those possibilities? What are you looking at right now?
We're going to take over the world one sprout at a time. Isn't that the dream?
I love it. I absolutely do. I love that. I think that's fantastic. Microgreens is something you hit on at exactly the right time, too, because it's something that more and more, as you look around, you see this everywhere. I see small ones coming out where I am in the Yarmouth area and other places. There's a lot there because people are caring more about their health, and they're caring more about the smallness and the ability to get things on a local basis.
I want to tell you about our Igniting Women in Business series at Ignite, providing rural women entrepreneurs an opportunity to connect, learn, and build their network through a series of initiatives, including a speaker series, gala, and retreat. We hope to inspire and empower rural women in business across the province. The theme is relearning through a women's lens. The sessions offer a space for women to discuss challenges that are faced by rural women in entrepreneurship, with opportunities to learn, network, and socialize. For more information on Igniting Women in Business and to sign up for our events newsletter, visit igniteatlantic.com.
You started everything pre-COVID. How did COVID affect everything that you were doing?
COVID was a scary time because we literally had a greenhouse pumping full of greens in March, which is actually like peak season for us. Our demand is really January through to the end of June is like people really craving fresh. And all of a sudden, I didn't have any staff because we were unsure about how we would work in proximity to each other. So it was a scary moment. because of some situations with my brother's employment, he actually ended up living with us and worked, all of a sudden was an employee of Bramble Hill Farm because he was in my household. But we were able to very quickly work on a schedule that would allow us, because we can really, excuse the pun, but microtask in our operation. We worked out a schedule basically so that people worked as individuals in the greenhouse and we didn't actually have physical overlap of time, but we were still able to get all the tasks done. And then, of course, there was the whole aspect of like delivery, which was, you know, my delivery driver calling the store from the back door saying, I'm leaving your delivery here by the back door and I'm going to get in my truck and I'll watch you come out and get it. And yeah, so there was, you know, a lot of physical figuring it out that way. But right. Definitely we did not see any drop in demand. If not, demand was definitely driven because people were even more concerned about their food security and, you know, what were potential border shutdowns going to do for local food supply.
Did you find that there were problems or challenges that you had because you were a female founder as opposed to a male founder? Is there anything there?
No, I don't necessarily think so, especially in the farmers market world. I mean, the farmers markets are very much dominated by female entrepreneurs, mostly because it fits lifestyle needs, right, for small families and growing families and things like that. No, I don't believe that I've directly seen anything. I have recently just become a certified WBE, so that is a woman business enterprise, and that is a certification that designates me as a diverse supplier, and that allows me access actually to work with larger corporations who have corporate commitments to spend, you know, X amount of their procurement dollars with certified diverse groups. So it's kind of an interesting avenue and definitely a new place to be playing in my entrepreneurial world. And it's really amazing actually to be part of their mentoring and working with some very strong businesswomen.
Tell us a little bit about the skills that are required as an entrepreneur, not necessarily as a farmer, but as an entrepreneur, because there is a lot to being an entrepreneur and building a business.
There's so much that I didn't even know. And I feel like every other day, there's just, it's a constant learning process, right? And sometimes I think, oh, it would have been nice if I had gone to business school. Like maybe I would know this. But in lots of ways, I feel like that's a little bit of my strength, is that I'm not necessarily confined by the traditional education of a business owner. And so it makes me question, like, well, why do you do it that way? Like, I don't, like, that doesn't make sense to me from, you know, a totally different perspective. And that's one of the things I love about bringing new staff into my greenhouse, is bringing someone in. Like, I don't require you to have any agricultural background. I didn't start there either. And I want to bring you in because you have fresh eyes and you're going to ask me, why the heck do you do it that way? That doesn't make any sense. You know, because we can become very pegged into, like, I've been doing that this way for years, so why would I change it, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, skill sets as far as being an entrepreneur. I have a mentor right now who often says, be open to the magic. And that is a skill, definitely, to, like, you know, be open to all the possibilities. Yeah, learning to publicly speak and be open to sharing your story. It's not always easy, even for myself, to, like, put my face first, you know, on Instagram and things like that. But people really want to connect with small businesses. They want to connect with a person, right?
Yeah, a real person. Mm-hmm. And you connect with somebody on a one-to-one basis. And I always talked about what we do is usually very rural oriented. And I always said early on when I started doing this that in rural Nova Scotia, people want to see you. They want to meet you. But I think that's the case anywhere. I don't think it matters whether it's rural or not. I think it's important to people to connect with other people.
Yeah, I recently saw this. So I've been going to, for the last year with our new product, I've been attending the One of a Kind show in Toronto. And I was very intimidated, rural Nova Scotian, like attending this massive, they call it the largest North American craft and food show. You know what? It's exactly like being at the farmer's market. People want to come and they want to directly talk to the founder or the creator of the product, and they're interested and engaged. So it doesn't matter if you are urban center, people, everyone's the same, right? We really want that human connection.
Now, you just recently got to do a presentation, a pitch with Dragon's Den. Tell us about that and what led to it. What got you involved in this?
Well, we just recently launched, kind of in the last 18 months, a new product. So Micro Garden by Bramble Hill Farm is a grow your own microgreens kit. It was very important to me when producing a new product to minimize the amount of plastic that we are creating. So I really designed it to be functional packaging. So you're actually cutting the bag to create the grow tray, using the top of the bag as a little greenhouse. And everything you need to grow your own microgreens on a kitchen counter or a windowsill are there. So back to the urban centers, like, this is such an easy way to be growing a little bit in your condo in downtown Toronto. So with this product, we've been able to expand our reach and serve more customers because we're no longer confined geographically to how far we can deliver our fresh product, right? And this also led me to the idea that, hey, this is the kind of thing that maybe the dragons want to hear about. So I was like, yeah, why not? Let's pitch to Dragon's Den and see where that goes. And just had that experience this past weekend.
So how did the pitch process go? Are you used to pitching?
Well, I feel like I'm used to pitching my product direct to consumer. That's, you know, I can do that no problem and love that experience. So this was definitely, in working in preparation for this pitch, realizing that it was going to need to be framed up very differently.
It is its own unique beast, if you will. And so it must have been a great experience just to be able to see how it's done and kind of have them kind of guide you through what you're doing.
It was definitely, and it was a bit of a cramming process too, I'll have to say, right? Having never prepared a pitch for an investor, there was a lot of different elements to my business that I was going to have to factor in, understanding valuation, you know, really what my margins were, what is the possibility of scaling the business? I mean, these are all the things that an investor wants to know.
With your product that you were talking about, your micro garden product, I saw an actual media release that came out just, man, it might have been yesterday, the partnership that you have with Nourish Nova Scotia. That seems like a really fantastic thing.
It was great. And it really was just kind of through word of mouth and getting to know a few people. Nourish Nova Scotia helps provide funds for schools throughout Nova Scotia for their breakfast and free lunch programs or building garden spaces. So any healthy food initiatives. And they've been running and are going to continue to run their Nourish boxes. So they have direct from farm root vegetable boxes that can be purchased and those funds help fund their breakfast programs. But they were looking for other ways that schools in, you know, more far-flung rural parts of the province that could access, because transportation of these root vegetable boxes was challenging. So through word of mouth and people we knew, we got connected and Nourish asked if these microgreen garden kits would be a fit for a fundraising initiative. And that's kind of how that developed. And it's just a perfect synergy of values between my farm and what Nourish does. So I'm really excited about this opportunity.
I know it's hilarious. You come from a fisheries background originally, and it's that old saying, you know, give a guy a fish and he eats for a day, teach a guy to fish and he can eat forever. That's definitely the way that can apply to something like this. It gives people that ownership, and it's very exciting.
Yeah, the micro garden is, I feel like we are becoming all the time more disconnected from our food source. And, you know, it's a very simple concept to put a seed in the ground and watch it grow. But a lot of people don't have that opportunity because of their circumstances or where they live. And so I really wanted to create something that was all inclusive and also at an accessible price point, because there are lots of systems on the market for growing microgreens on your countertop. I won't name any names, but you know, they're really technical. There's lots of parts to them and they're a big financial investment. So I wanted to create something that was super simple and anyone could access, and it fits so many needs that way.
Plant a seed, watch it grow.
Exactly.
What's next for Bramble Hill Farm, other than waiting for the phone call from Dragon's Den?
Well, we have been working for the last couple of years with Summer Street Industries here in New Glasgow. They're an organization that helps create employment opportunities for people with intellectual disabilities.
Yeah, wonderful. They're a social enterprise.
Yeah,
they're fantastic.
And we're really excited. We're an inclusive employer, and we have one of our staff members is support it through Summer Street. We've been at max capacity in our greenhouse space for a couple of years, and that was also some of the pressure to grow a new product to, you know, continue to grow the business. But, you know, the possibility of a new greenhouse space has always been on my mind, and I've looked at the opportunities to do that independently. But then through lots of conversation, the last couple of years, we've been working with Summer Street on the possibility of building a greenhouse space with them. And so it's in the works that Summer Street Industries is going to build a greenhouse space and Bramble Hill Farm would become their tenant and have an inclusive employment situation. And that would allow us to grow more product and allow them some unique and, you know, very fulfilling agricultural jobs and allow our customer base throughout Nova Scotia to have more access to fresh all year round.
Just amazing. Thank you so much for this. Have a terrific time with the next step, building things up as Bramble Hill Farm continues to grow.
Well, thank you so much. What you're doing is super important too, because telling stories is how we all get to grow.
To find out more about Bramble Hill Farm, visit their website, bramblehill.ca. They can also be found on Facebook and Instagram, and you can find Kathy on LinkedIn. That's Kathy with a C, Monroe with an O. To find out more about rural innovation and what Ignite does, check out igniteatlantic.com. And you can find Ignite Atlantic on Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. And please follow me on LinkedIn as well. If you enjoyed this episode, we'd love it if you subscribed to Ignited, shared us with your friends, and gave us a good review. And remember, you can find past episodes anytime by looking over our archive wherever you download your pods. And we'd love to hear from you. Any comments or suggestions about the podcast or who you'd like to hear on it are most welcome. Email me at Wade, W-A-D-E, at igniteatlantic.com. I'm Wade Cleveland. Thanks for listening. Talk soon.